This week, I found myself cursing a lot more than usual at the news, and everything's been going on. I mean, there's been all the shootings, the gun violence, the insanity that's going on with all the laws that they're trying to pass about gay and transgender and history and trying to wipe out, the racial history of America, and so all these things are going on, and that's just in our country. And so there's this a lot of anger that was arising, which is a natural response to injustice when you see it. But what I was experiencing was this flavor of this righteous anger, this justified anger, this, as I said, this yelling at the TV, or yelling at what I'm reading, or just thinking about stuff, and just getting lost in my mind of this place of anger. And I was thinking about that's not a place I want to feel comfortable with. It's not a state I want to feel comfortable with. It's not a place I want to hang out, because what that is, that's a hardening of the heart. That's anger, which is one of the three poisons that the Buddha talked about. And this week I heard somebody mention, I think it was mudita, somebody, I don't remember where it was, they talked about mudita, which is sympathetic joy or appreciative joy. It's one of the heart practices. And that kind of stuck in my head, and I went, what a great practice for softening the heart. And it's a great antidote to this sense of anger, this sense of separateness, because when you get into this place of anger at them, there's this disconnect, and you have just othered. I othered us and them. And it's when you do that, it's so easy to go down that slippery slope of dehumanizing someone else because whatever reason. And so the practice of appreciative joy, I think, is really helpful. And it's not an easy one. This what mudita is. It's one of the four Brahmaviharas. It's one of the four heart practices. I'm sure you're all familiar with them, but there's loving kindness, there's compassion, there's appreciative joy, and there's equanimity. And loving kindness is this heart that's open to all beings, that greets all beings with kindness. There's compassion, where you are touched by the suffering, the misfortune of others. And mudita, the Pali word, appreciative joy, and I'll say mudita a lot because it's less syllables than appreciative joy, so it's easier to say for me. It means you are happy for the happiness of others, the wholesome happiness of others, not happy because they did something awful or they caused harm or they robbed a bank and got a lot of money. It's the wholesome, wise, skillful, the joy of others who, someone who gets married, and the joy they have on their wedding day, or someone who has a baby and that joy, or gets a promotion, or something that they are really excited about, that you also share in that, that you share in that. And the root of mudita means to be pleased, to gladden. And so I like to think of it as generosity of the heart. It's this generosity that we have for others, for their good fortune, for their happiness, and with the wish that it continues. Not that, okay, you got yours, that's enough. But to have this, may it continue. And I heard somewhere, or I read somewhere, that it's like compassion and appreciative joy are like siblings and the offspring of metta, loving kindness, which is, there's the equanimity is the appropriate response. If you're faced with joy, you have the joy as well. If you're faced with someone suffering, there's the welling up of compassion. So they work hand in hand, depending on what experiences happening, what's going on. And Sharon Salzberg, who wrote the book Loving Kindness, it's, if you don't have it, it's a really good one. She wrote all about these heart qualities, and she said mudita is a rare and beautiful quality to feel truly happy when others are happy. It's a rare and beautiful quality because of so much stuff that I'll get in, because of all this conditioning we have that I'll talk about in a minute. But when I, the other day, Thursday, in fact, when I was working on this talk, I saw a video, a reel, I think it was on Facebook, and it was about a girls' softball team. And this one girl hit, she hit a home run, and it was a grand slam, and it was going to win the game. So everybody was on base, and everybody was running around the bases. But when she got to first base, something happened, and she tripped, or she pulled a muscle or something, and she fell, and she couldn't get up because she was in pain. And the rule is that her teammates were not allowed to help her. Well, if she couldn't go around the bases, and she couldn't win the game. So what happened is the girls on the other team came and they picked her up and they kind of carried her around the bases so that she could touch each of the bases and get to home plate and score the winning run and win the game. And it was so moving. There was so much joy. There were so many things in there. There was the generosity of the other team. There was the joy the young girl had in getting this home run and still being able to complete it even with the injury. There was the compassion that the other team had towards her. And I'm sure they had joy as well, you know, in being this generous of spirit, generous of heart to help her. And I felt this tremendous, I was touched by this, and I'm like, this is mudita. This is mudita, this joy in other people's joy, you know. There's when we, the phrase that I offered in the meditation, when we are, now I can't even remember it, allow the, you know, available to the experience. If we're available to the experience, there's this tremendous joy that can be had. There's another example that I have is that I watched this show called American Ninja Warrior, which is this obstacle course competition. And you're nodding, you know it. Yeah, it started along many, many years ago in Japan, and now there's an American version of it, Sasuke. And the athletes cheer each other on. Even though they're competing against each other, they're actually not competing against each other. They're competing against the course. So they root for each other. And it's like, and when one of them does well, they all cheer. It's like, that's mudita in action. And you see it all the time. And, you know, when if, you know, like I mentioned, you know, friends having good fortune, getting married, having a baby, those types of things, little children playing and having a good time. There's all types of mudita if you are available to the experience. And I bet you can think of examples of that in your own life, that you are touched by that and the good feeling it is. It's so important to have that. And sometimes, oftentimes it's spontaneous, this feeling of mudita, but a lot of times we censor it. Not necessarily intentionally, but habitually, implicitly, under the surface, because of our conditioning, because of the way we've been taught, you know. It's not how we work in this world, in this society. We are brought up on competitiveness. We are brought up on there's probably not enough to go around and you better get yours. This sense of lack, this sense of inadequacy. And, you know, I was thinking of Vince Lombardi, the old football coach, and his famous line is, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. So don't come to me if you're not going to win. I mean, so it's a really small worldview, which doesn't allow for anything accept this one result, which, you know, that is, you know, the Buddha, that's kind of that root of our suffering, root of our dissatisfaction, our needing to have one particular thing, our needing to have a certain outcome. Winning is not just the only thing, or not just everything, it's the only thing. So that's a real groundwork for suffering, for dissatisfaction, for anger, for hatred, for competitiveness, for doing things that may not be wise or skillful. You know, we're taught that if they get theirs, I won't get mine. You know, it's the most difficult of the Brahma Viharas because of this deep conditioning we have. You know, it has been for me, but because it is so difficult, Sharon Salzberg says that it's much more potent when we can connect with it. It's much more potent, but the necessity of breaking out of our societal conditioning, of our familial conditioning, you know, how were you raised in your family? What messages did you receive? Mine was always, there was a lot of worry. Is there going to be enough? Is there going to be enough? Is there going to be enough? So it was like, I got to make sure there's enough. And so then I can't let you have. So they're very tight, closed knit. You know, I may not want it, but you can't have it either, kind of thing. Because I gotta hold on to it. So in the Brahma Viharas, there are, in the heart practices, for each of them, there are what are called near enemies and far enemies. And so I want to talk about those, so because that helps us identify what we're working with and how to perhaps disentangle ourselves from these things that get in the way of the beauty and joy of mudita, of appreciative joy. The near enemy of mudita is overexuberance. It's like getting carried away instead of just being happy, just taking it to that next level that may not be wise, may not be skillful, may actually cause harm. And the one example that comes to mind so much of the time is around sports again. When somebody's team wins the Super Bowl and then everybody goes out and turns over cars and sets things on fire, it's like, that's not joy. That's gone to another level and it causes harm and all those types of things. So that getting carried away is not mudita. Mudita and a lot of these heart practices are centered, you know, there's the connection with the body that's so important, the somatic awareness. You know, when you feel that joy, feel it in the body. You don't have to, you know, externally demonstrate that you feel joy. There may be some jumping up and down, some yelling, yay, or whatever is appropriate for the circumstance, but allow it to be felt somatically. That's where it's so beautiful. That's where it's so lovely. So that's the near enemy. You might think it is, but it may not be. Some of the far enemies are, is one of them is judgments. It's there so often. Judgment is so often gets in the way of so much that's lovely. And what this judgment is for mudita is dismissive of other people's happiness, judging what makes them happy. It's like, really? That makes you happy? Really? Like, there's this dismissiveness and this disdain. I used to do this a lot. It's the one example that comes up for me is the Rose Parade here in Southern California on New Year's Day. There's this, you know, the Tournament of Roses and the parade of all the floats. And people love that. People spend the nights camped out on the street in Pasadena so they could be there in the morning to watch the Rose Parade. And I have absolutely no interest in it. So I would be really disdainful of them. I'm just like, really? And now it's like, oh, this brings them joy. And I remember one time it rained and they didn't have the parade and I felt bad. I had some compassion for them. And I'm like, wow, that's different. So being happy, just because it doesn't interest you. I remember a few years ago, there was a thing on Facebook. Somebody was saying, name the 10 worst bands. What's your list of the 10 worst bands? And there was like a whole bunch. That was so much fun to get into and tear up these bands and go, oh, man, their music's awful. They can't play. They can't sing, blah, 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 blah. And I really enjoyed that. And then a friend of mine who is a musician, who makes his living as a musician, got on and said, you know, these bands that you're dissing, this is their livelihood or their heart and soul. They put their heart and soul into this. It may not be your taste, but why are you denigrating their work that maybe brings them great joy? And it's like, oh, different perspective, shift. Oh, so now I can't do that anymore. It's like, I could, but is that the kind of person you want to be? And it's like, that's not the kind of person I want to be. I really buy these teachings hook, line, and sinker. So how do I cultivate mudita? It's as simple as not jumping on the bandwagon to diss other people and their work or you know, judge what other people care about. Just because, if it's, again, wholesome, you know, good, skillful, not, you know, awful or harmful in any way. But if it's all good stuff, then it's like, let them. Hooray for them. Yay. And there's a quote by Voltaire that I absolutely love. And he says, appreciation is a wonderful thing. It can make what is excellent in others belong to us as well. So he's not talking about mudita, but he's talking about the underlying experience of mudita. It makes what's excellent in others' lives belong to us as well. How awesome is that? Sharing the joy, sharing the happiness. Why would I say no to that? Except from this place of lack, this place of judgment, this place of inadequacy, this place of othering. Us and them. Another one of the far enemies of mudita is comparing. You know, we're better or worse, they're better or worse. This sense of conceit, this self-view that we're not just in this together. And that kind of reminds me of, you know, I'm sure I've mentioned this before. There's this series of shows on Discovery, or I don't know what channel it's on, but it kind of gives the history of American, like, inventions and American pioneers and, you know, the Carnegie and Ford, the car, you know, the battle of the people creating cars, or even the most recent one that I saw last week was the inventors of peanut butter. You know, there was Skippy, and then there was Jif, and then this guy made it better. And every single one of them is grounded in competitiveness. Got to come out on top. My business is really successful. I make a really good living. I make a really good product. I employ a lot of people in my manufacturing plants. But they're number one. They're making more money than I am. I need to beat them. That's the line that runs through everything. We're talking Barbie dolls. We're talking peanut butter. We're talking railroad. We're talking Edison and Tesla and alternating current and DC. That's the competitiveness. Instead of going, wow, I'm making a living. I'm making a good product. You're making a living. You're making a good product. Yay. There's enough to go around, but that's not the ethos of this country. It's very different. And so to recognize that and pull ourselves out of the water that we're swimming in, this comparing, this got to get bigger, more, louder. Can you pull back and watch where you're caught into that? Because that's craving, 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 craving. More, more, more. There's never enough. How many billions is enough billions? apparently nobody's reached that point yet, because they're still trying to make more. Another, it doesn't matter. That's my thing. It's like, it doesn't matter. I yell at the TV. My husband loves those shows, and I'll watch them because they're kind of interesting because they have facts, and it's like, oh, is that where that started? I'm interested in that part, but when they get into that, and I just yell at the TV, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can be number two. It's okay. Another one of the near enemies is this inability to offer mudita to people we don't like. You know, we don't want them to have good fortune. We come up with these ideas of they're not deserving, I don't like them, blah, blah, blah. The problem with that is the Brahma Viharas are unconditional. They don't have to meet a certain set of criteria. The only thing is, as I said, it's wholesome, it's skillful, and wise. It's not causing harm. What that brings them joy and happiness is not something that causes harm to others or is destructive in any way. It's wholesome. And there's a line that Sharon quotes. This is from Henry Wadsworth Longfellow that I really like, because it speaks directly to this. It says, his quote is, "If we could read the secret history of our enemies, we should find in each man's life sorrow and suffering enough to disarm all hostility." You know? Everyone's life is by nature continually vulnerable to pain. Remembering this is our gateway to mudita. We're all experiencing the human condition. Why would we deny another human being a moment of joy simply because we don't like them? That's on us. That's not on them. You know, they are the Brahma Viharas, the heart practices, are unconditional. And so that, again, is an excellent, excellent, excellent practice. And I had the question the other day when I was talking about this, and the person went right to the worst person they can think of, which is what we have a tendency to do when we practice these heart practices in metta. We go right to the person who harmed us the most. We go right to the most awful person we can think of in the world today. Right to the worst. And it's like, that's not where you start. You do not start with the worst. You have to build up. Start with the person who annoys you. You know, start with that person at work. Start with the noisy neighbor. Start with the person who has a you don't like the way they dress. I mean, that's where you move with this. You build this up. You continue. You create the circumstances that allow for greater and greater and greater mudita. And the more you practice this, the more the heart opens. The more generous the heart becomes. The easier it is to drop those barriers, to begin to reconnect where there was separateness. I started with people at work that I didn't like. I would say bless their heart. That I know in many, many circles is not a term that is nice or well-meaning, but for me it worked. That's what I used. And people would go, wow, you really mean that? And I'm like, no, I don't mean it that way. I mean, like, bless them. Bless their heart. Bless their heart. Seriously, bless their heart. That's how I had to start. Until that animosity that I carried for no reason other than I didn't like their shoes or whatever, or they got a promotion and I didn't, that was, you know, the reason I didn't like them was self-centered and self-seeking and egotistical, fear-based, greed-based, that conditioning, they got it, then I won't get it. There's that envy that comes in. Why me? Why can't I have that? That's another enemy. Another one is avarice. You know, I can't have it. You can't have it. This goes back to when I was a kid, and I don't remember, something happened with a neighbor. I think I broke one of her toys, and so our parents decided that I would give her one of my toys, and she came in and looked in my toy box and pulled out something that I hadn't played with forever, but I didn't want her to have it. It's like, and I find myself doing that. It's like, I don't want it, but I don't want you to have it because if it gets away, you know, it's like throwing stuff out. If I let go of it, then I'll need it, you know. Let go, let go, let go, you know. So painful when we do that. It's so painful when we hold on or we hide things from other people so they don't see what we have. They might take it from us. You know, when we are stuck in these far enemies, when we're stuck in these enemies of mudita, we're not available to the joy that's present in other people's lives because, one more time, we're so busy manipulating and holding and judging and comparing and figuring out and making sure, and if this, then that, and should and shouldn't. And if we can simply let go of that and open our hearts, I really like that term, generosity of the heart. I'm so happy for you. That doesn't cost me anything except ego. And that's something I want to be rid of anyway. Can I let go of that ego? And then the allies of mudita are joy, pitti, compassion. These Brahmaviharas work together. Gratitude. Gratitude brings delight. That's why it's so important to be grateful, because gratitude kind of opens the heart to see what's present, what we have. We have breath. We have this moment. I have all of this. I have this. I'm so grateful. I have joy for what I have. I have joy for what you have. It's a beautiful thing. And there's a quote, I don't know where I found it, but there's a quote that talks about mudita, and it says, it's this craving that gives rise to jealousy, envy, covetedness, avarice, and greed in all of its manifestations. Here it is that mudita, when practiced and developed, becomes a sublime and boundless state of mind to be dwelt in as a corrective characteristic for their removal. Mudita, when practiced and developed, becomes a boundless state of mind that is the antidote to this craving, this jealousy, this envy, this avarice, this greed. So mudita is this generosity. Oh, yeah, letting people have what's theirs. I don't need to dismiss it. There's enough to go around. So I see this meme about various things, and it's like, you know, happiness, there's enough to go around. If you can be happy, I can be happy, they can be happy. It's not a pie. We don't run out of slices. There's enough, you know? So I think it's important, and I'm really glad that whoever it was said the word mudita this week, and I heard it and I sat with it and I was like, oh yeah, mudita is so important, especially now. Joy is joy. This invitation to joy is really important, especially when things feel so grim and feel so overwhelming, because there is joy. You know, I share this so much that when my brother died, of course, there's a lot of grief and sadness, but we also sat around and talked about, you know, his life and laughed a lot. There was a lot of joy. I was talking to a friend of mine a week or two ago about a mutual friend of ours that had passed away, and she was there when they died, and talked about the group of women who were with this friend of ours. And the great joy that they all felt to be with each other and to share that experience. It's quite powerful if we allow ourselves, if we become open. So open to whatever is present, open to the joy even in this moment. There's a, what was that other thing I wanted to, let me see if I have this other note here. Let me see if it makes sense in this context. Oh, yeah, talking about the relationship between mudita and compassion. It figures more strongly, this relationship, how they support each other. It figures more strongly as we direct sympathetic joy or mudita towards someone who is suffering a great deal. There can be joy in this suffering. Can we find within their life some little happiness, something that is bringing them satisfaction, or maybe just an opening for changing a circumstance that is causing them pain? What happens is we have this tendency to see things in the black and white, you know. There's either or, this binary. There's either joy or there's suffering. There can't be both. And that's not how this world operates. That's not how we operate as human beings. We can be in the midst of great pain and walk outside and it's springtime and the flowers are just exploding and find joy in that. And then if we're practicing mudita for someone who is in great suffering or is in a lot of distress, you know, maybe we have that joy for their joy, even in that simple moment. So we don't take this away from anyone, just as we don't take it away from ourselves. We make ourselves available for the experience, whatever's present. So thank you, my friends, for your kind attention. And I hope this has been of some benefit. And if it has, I have great joy from your benefiting from my words. There, that's mudita. Da-dum-bum. Thank you. Thank you for visiting Undefended Dharma. These teachings are freely offered. However, if you would like to make a donation to help support the technology that makes these podcasts possible, please visit marystankavage.org/support. Thank you.